This is the day the Lord has made. Everybody looking for me. Praise the Lord. It is so good to see everybody this morning on this beautiful morning here. A couple of things. Hi, hon. How you doing? It's good to see you. But anyway, a couple of things I want to say. If we would, because we got a lot of people, not a lot, but we got several people in our congregation that's really down with that stomach bug, and it's going around. I hear it is really, really nasty, and I hear it's really contagious. So please refrain from hugging. Again, you know, because once again, you know, I don't want to have it. And if I hug somebody, come hug me, and you give it to me, let me tell you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm gonna pray for you. But just be careful of that, you know, really, because it's going around now, and I understand. And we don't want anybody else, because we got several that are out with that stomach bug and some other stuff that's going on also. So just be very, very careful with that, if you would, please. Anyway, visitors, we're glad that you're here. We have three visitors back there. And we have Ray Randall and his daughter, Angelina, that's back. We're glad to have you back. It's been quite a while, but we're glad to see all of you. Praise the Lord. We have it's good to see everybody here this morning. So praise the Lord. Anyway, for those of you who hadn't been here in a while, the first Sunday is Communion Sunday. And it's Hymnal Sunday also. I know some of y'all don't care for the hymns. I could see the expressions on your faces as we're singing those hymns. But those hymns have such a deep meaning. If you would just read the words of the hymns, you know, I tell you, they have so much deep meaning in those. So we've been doing this. Well, I've been doing Hymnal Sunday ever since I've been in ministry, you know, for 22 years. And we're going to keep on doing them. Praise the Lord, long as I'm on the thing, you know, but anyway. But for you new people, we want to welcome you, but we want to give you a little heads up. We all have issues in here. Want you to know that. Some of us have bigger issues than others, you know, but we all have issues. So if you see stuff going on, just know that we have issues, especially with the one sitting in the front seat right there. Yeah. See, y'all don't hear what she does to me when I'm up here. See, y'all don't see and hear the stuff that she tries to do. She make faces at me and all kind of things when I'm up here. Yes. But anyway, and we need to pray for Vern, because Vern is still in the hospital. Brother Ron is still in the hospital. They in a room right next to each other. Yeah, they're right next to each other. So we need to keep them in prayer to get them out of the hospital and get them back here in the house of the Lord. But anyway, let us pray. Father, we come before you this morning, giving you honor, glory, and praise. We want to say thank you, Lord, for being God and God alone. We thank you for waking us up another day. Not only did you wake us up another day, you woke us up in our right mind. For those of us who are in Christ, and Christ is with us, Lord, we know, Father God, that it can be nothing better than to serve you. So, Lord, we thank you for that, for bringing us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We pray for our family members and loved ones who are still walking in darkness. Lord, we ask, Father God, you do to them that you've done to us. You're no respecter of persons. And so, Lord, we know, Father God, that you can and hopefully will bring them out of darkness before your return, because we know that you're returning quickly and soon. Father, we pray, Father, for the children. We commit our children unto you and set them apart that they will serve you all the days of their life, and they will not get caught up in the snares and the traps of the enemy. We pray for the homeless today and the hungry. We ask that you provide for them. We pray for the hopeless, helpless, and those who are hurting today also. Those who might be contemplating suicide, especially our soldiers. We ask, Father, that you will intervene and stop them. Those who are grieving over the family members, loved ones who have died, Lord, we ask, Father, the God of comfort, to comfort those who are grieving this morning. Lord, we ask that our ears will be open, our hearts will be receptive, oh, Father God, for the word that you have to bring forth here today. Get me out of the way, Lord. that you would bring forth this word, O Father God, that we will hear this word, not only hear this word, but do the word. And there'd be no distractions. There'd be nothing here that distracts us from hearing your word. And Lord, I pray that we'll walk out of here not like we walked in, that we'll have a closer commitment and love for you when we walk out of here. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Clarence, I'm going to ask if you would come, please. And Russell, if you would come, please, also. And we want to let you know that all of you are welcome to partake of communion this morning if you're in Christ. But I want to share with you also, here, there we go. It might work out a little better for you. But also I want to give you a little heeding, because the Bible says that many became sick of partaking communion unworthily. And you say, well, what does that mean, Pastor? That means that if you know that you know that you know that your life is not right, that you're not doing the right thing, it's better to leave it alone for right now. But the good thing is, if you're going through some stuff in your life that you know that's not right, Jesus says, confess it to him. Not me, not nobody else, because I cannot forgive you of your sins. But Jesus can. He's the only one. There's no other name under heaven but name of Jesus. But he says, if you confess your sins to him and repent of them, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. And this is a good point. To cleanse you from all unrighteousness, not just part of it, but all unrighteousness. So if you're going through something this morning and you know that it's not right, just ask God to forgive you of it and repent of it and come on, partake of the Lord's Supper with us. I'm going to dismiss the different sides, but I'm going to ask you, once you get your communion and come around this way, that you would hold it. Please do not take communion when you get it and sit down, because we want to partake communion, the Lord's Supper, as a family. And we are family, whether you like it or not. If you're part of the body of Christ, we are family. So we want to partake of the Lord's Supper as a family. I'm so glad to see you this morning. Praise the Lord. I've been missing you. Yes. You know, when we don't see family members for a while, it's not the same. When a family member is not here, it's not the same. I want you to know that. So anyway, we're going to start with this section here. If you'd come around and go this way, please. And if you need communion be brought to you, we have ushers who are bringing it to you. And if you are a gluten-free, we have this up here for you also. This section here, please. This section here, if you would come around this way, please. Exit this way. Thank you. this section here, please. Bless you. Amen. Did everybody receive communion who was going to be taking it? As I said before, the sacraments of communion. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. Why should we remember Jesus? Because he who had no sin became sin for us. And he took on that sin debt for us. And when he took on that sin debt for us, he became sin for you and me, who never have sinned before. But because, you know why he did that? Because he loved you. That's why. The reason why he went to the cross is because he loved you. The reason why he was beaten and didn't open his mouth is because he loved you. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's why we should remember him every day, all day long, because of what he has done for us. And when he took on that sin debt for us, he took our sin, and you know what he gave us? His righteousness. His righteousness, not the world's righteousness, not your righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Oh, if we would only remember how much Jesus loves us. Let me tell you something. It will make us a better person. It will make us a more obedient and dedicated and committed Christian. If we can remember these things. But the enemy who hates you because we belong to God, he comes to us and he brings all type of distractions. He brings all type of things in our minds that keep us from focusing on Jesus. But we need to keep the main thing the main thing. And his name is Jesus. So, as we partake of the bread, he said, the bread is his body, was broken for us. And I say this all the time. He was beaten unrecognizable as a human being. He did not look like a human being. Because he was beaten so badly. And you know, the good part about it, he could have stopped it at any moment. But he had to go through that. And you know why? Once again, because of love. Because of love. That's why he went through that. So as we partake of the bread, let's remember that his body was broken. And take it personal for you and me. Let's partake of the body. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for what you've done, that you sacrificed your life for us because of your love for us. He said the cup represents a new covenant. Thank God for the new covenant. The new covenant is a new covenant of grace. No more sacrifices, because he is the Lamb of God. He was the last sacrifice. Has to be no other sacrifices. He's done it all. He said, it is finished. And it said, blood had to be shed for the removal of sin, not the covering of sin, for the removal of sin. And I'm so thankful that the sin that I've committed and that will commit will be removed by the blood of Jesus. That's what we should remember of how much he loved it. And you know what? The beatings, the spit on, and all of that was horrific. The worst thing was when God turned his back on him. Because, see, God cannot look on sin. And his son carried our sin. So God had to turn his back on his son. That's why Jesus cried out on the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me? Because of me and because of you. That's why God forsook him. There's no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. And he laid his life down for us. So let's take this very, very seriously, people. This is not just something we do once a month, you know what I mean, to get through a ritual or whatever. Absolutely not. It's something that's essential that we need to remember every day. Every day we need to remember this. So let us partake of the blood. Father, we thank you for the blood. There's nothing more powerful than the blood. There's nothing that cleanses but the blood of Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you, Father God, for the blood. We pray these things in Jesus' name. If you take your cups and pass them to the sides and put them in the little things in the side, we will greatly appreciate it. We'll pick them up after the service here. If you turn your Bible to the book of Exodus, Exodus 17, matter of fact, Exodus 17. Sunday school, kids, I'm sorry, children's church, kids go to school, Sunday school, learn something. Praise the Lord. Exodus 17. One, starting verse one. Wait till the kids get to moving here. Now this is when the people, the Hebrews, they were delivered from bondage out of Egypt. Moses, who God ordained and commissioned to be the man that brought the Hebrew people out of bondage for 400 years. They were in bondage for 400 years and they cried to the Lord. And it said, the Lord heard their cry. And he sent Moses to deliver his people. And we know the story about Moses, don't we? Moses went to Pharaoh and said, the Lord says, let my people go. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened and wouldn't let the people go until God proved that he was the most powerful God. He was more powerful than the sun god, the alligator god, and every god that they had. They had all kind of gods in Egypt. And so when they let the people go, they left out of Egypt and they were on their way to the promised land. And here we start. Chapter 17, verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitted in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto the people, why chide ye me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? That word chide mean is they were all in his ear. They were murmuring and arguing. Moses, Moses, we're thirsty. Give us water. And Moses says, why do you chiding with me? I'm not the one who provides this water. I wasn't the one who provided those plagues, and I wasn't the one who provided that deliverance from Egypt. Why are you coming after me? And listen to what it says. And wherefore the people did chide with Moses and Moses. And so anyway, why chide ye with me? Therefore, do you tempt the Lord? Do you not believe the Lord? Do you not have faith in the Lord that he took you out of that land of Egypt of bondage for 400 years? You've seen all of the different miracles day after day after day after day after day until that Passover? Don't you remember that? Have you forgotten that? What God has done for you already? And it says, and the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses. There we go. And said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our family and our cattle with thirst? They murmured and complained. This Moses, did you bring us out of here just to kill us? Set out their graves in Egypt? We could have stayed in Egypt. Better than where we are now. We don't have any water. But they have forgotten the water that was provided for them a little while earlier. You see. They've forgotten that there was no water. But God provided water for them. Not only water, he provided food for them. Not only food for them, he provided where their clothes did not even wear out. Now, can you imagine 40 years wearing the same thing every day? No holes in your clothes, no holes in your shoes. But God said, I'll provide for you. All you need to do is look to me and trust in me. But they had forgotten the blessings of God because of the conditions that they were in. How many of us that God has brought us out of things time after time after time after time, storms of life, trials of life. And then when things start happening again, we start murmuring and complaining. They were murmuring and complaining at Moses because Moses represented the man of God. See? And Moses cried to the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? For they are almost ready to stone me. Do you remember? I know some of y'all seen the picture of the Ten Commandments. And how Moses stood up on the rock and lifted up his staff and said, today, see the salvation of the Lord. And the Red Sea parted. Y'all remember seeing Charlton Heston? And the water parted. And they walked through. All 2 million plus walked through on dry ground. Not mud, dry ground. Now, when they was walking through and some of them are running because they saw the enemy coming after them. But they saw how God opened up this Red Sea and brought them to safety. And then not only that, when the enemy came, he closed the sea and killed the enemy. They forgot all about that. And all the things that God has done for us, have we forgotten? Church. Have we forgotten things that God has brought us out of? The difficulties, the situations, the conditions, storms of life that God has brought us out of time and time and time and time and time again. I'm talking about the children of Israel, not nobody here. Anyway. And so, verse 5. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on therefore the people and take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before them, before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He got another commandment of God, even though these people were ready to stone him. I'm glad it wasn't me instead of Moses. God, like, oh, y'all cussing me out? Y'all getting ready to stone me? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Get water yourself. Hopefully I wouldn't do that, but you know. But Moses did as God told them. Why did Moses do this? Because he loved God. He loved the people. Even though they were ready to kill him and stone him, he still loved these people. And so it says, Moses did according to what God had done. And it says, and Moses called the name of the place Massa and Meribib because of the chiding of the people of Israel. Because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Ooh, Lord, have mercy. Once again, the plagues and brought them out of 400 years of slavery. Opened up the Red Sea, gave them safe passage, killed their enemy, gave them manna, and now, Lord, are you with us or not? Lord, where are you in a time when I'm going through such a hard time in my life? God said, are you serious? Are you really questioning me of all I've done for you? Are you really, ye a little faith, don't have faith that I will bring forth living water to you again? And then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Amalek was an enemy. Amalek is a grandson of Esau. He's the grandson of Esau. And they, even though they had Abraham as their father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were an enemy of God's people, you see. And the feeble, the old, and those who were sick and injured was in the back of the 2 million some people. And the Amalekites would ambush them and kill the old, the feeble, and the sick. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go and fight with Amalek tomorrow. He said, we cannot continue to have our people being slaughtered and murdered. The helpless people. These were helpless ones. Because they were lagging in the back. He said, we got to do something about this. Now, God could have wiped them off just with a blink. He could have fried them up just with a blink. But God wanted the people to see his power working through other people. Oh, don't miss this, church. God wanted to use people that other people could see the power of God working through other people. We are vessels. And God wants to use us that other people can see the power of God through us. You understand what I'm saying? That's why God has given us breath and life. That's why God has given us giftings and talents. So we can bless other people, so other people can see the power of God through us to pass it on. Not just to come to church and sit on the pews, but to do God's work. So anyway, the Amalekites. So anyway, God told Moses to get a hold of Joshua. And he says, to fight with the Amalek tomorrow, I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. That same rod that he had when he was in Egypt and he threw the rod down and it turned to a snake. That same rod when he was in Egypt and he put the rod in the Nile River and it all turned to blood. That same rod that he took at the Red Sea and it parted the Red Sea. He said, what you have in your hand, that's all you need in me. He said, I'm going to stand on the top of the hill with my rod, top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel was winning the war. When Moses was standing on the hill, as God told him to do, he had the rod in his hand. And he's looking down at the battle. Now, these men were not warriors. They were not soldiers. They had been in captivity for 400 years. They were slaves. They didn't know nothing about fighting. But let me tell you something. The battle's not ours. It's the Lord's. So God said, as a symbol of my power, Moses, stand up here and hold your hands up with that rod in your hand. And as long as Moses stood there with the rod in his hand, Joshua and the men who did not have no military training, they were prevailing. They were winning. Why were they winning? I'm glad you asked me. Because they were obeying what God had told him to do, you see. As they were down there fighting, they would look up and they would see the man of God who they were almost stoned and cussed out and murmured against, standing up with his hands up. With God, his hand was it was heavenly. It was heavenward. His hand was up to God. The rod was up to God. But you know what? Said he got tired. Said he got tired. Because Moses was human, wasn't he? He was human. So he got tired. Let me tell you what happened after he got tired. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. So when he got tired and his arms went down, and his arms up with the rod, it represented that he had a focus on God. He had what God had commanded him to do was to stand on the mountain and raise his hand with the rod. He was obedient. But he got tired. Not on purpose. He got tired. And it says, when he got tired, the enemy prevailed. So what are we going to do? I'm glad you asked me. But Moses' hands was very heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him. You see, they took a stone and put it under him where he sat on the rock. You know what the rock represents? Jesus. Jesus. Said they set him on a stone. See, this it wasn't going to break. It was solid. Had substance to it. And he put him on a stone, and they put under him, and he sat thereon. So he sat down. Now he's sitting down. He's sitting down. Getting the second breath. And then he raised up his arms again with the staff. And Israel prevailed. They were winning. But his arms got tired again. What am I going to do, Lord? I'm going back and forth. We're winning sometimes, and sometimes we're losing. Has anybody ever been there? Sometimes you're winning. Sometimes I'm winning. Sometimes I'm living for the Lord, and everything is okay. Everything is right. But now I done got tired. Now I done got tired. So I got to let it down. I got to take my focus off. I got to take my posture. The things that was giving me victory. I done got tired. I'm going to get there in a minute. And it says, once again, where am I at? 12, thank you. But Moses' hands was heavy, and they took a stone and set it up under him. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hand. Aaron was his brother, And a lot of the commentators say Herod was his brother-in-law who married his sister Miriam. And it says that his hands, they took, and they on both sides of his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. See, Moses did these things on his own, but he got tired. So he called for help. Don't you know that we all need help from one another? Do you know that? We get tired, don't we? We get tired of doing the right thing. We get tired of reading our Bible. We get tired of praying. We get tired of coming to church. Get tired of coming to Bible study. Get tired of coming to prayer meeting. Get tired of doing the right thing. And when we get tired, that's when the enemy starts winning. But so many will not ask for help. Everybody got quiet on that. So many won't ask for help. Why won't you ask for help when you get tired? When you're struggling in your life. When you're going through stuff. Well, I don't want nobody to know that I'm going through this. I don't want nobody to know that this, that, and the other. Let me tell you something. We all struggling. We all going through things. We all got issues. Every one of us. And we need each other. That's why the Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourself as others do, so we can encourage one another. We need one another to hold each other up so we can have victory in Jesus. And when you don't ask, you know what that is? It's the pride of life. And you know what the pride of life is? It's sin. Did you know that? The lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. It's sin. Oh, I don't want nobody to give me charity. I don't want nobody to do nothing for me. And you're struggling, and the enemy is defeating you. And then once that happens, you go seclude yourself because you feel shame. You feel guilty. And we don't see you no more. Let me tell you something, church. We need people. We need people. We need each other when we're struggling. And we all struggle. We all struggle. So take that pride and do something with it. Whatever you need to do with it, do something with it. Because we all need each other. Now listen to this. And it says, and Joshua discommitted Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name Jehovah Nissi. And he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generations to generations. And I've preached about that before, about Amalek. You know, God says, you know, we're going to have war with him from generations, but I want you to wipe that name off the face of the earth. And I preached about that when King Saul was supposed to go and kill all of them, but he saved the king and all the best animals and things. But the man of God, he said, I'll take care of him. And he wouldn't cut him into pieces. But however, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is our banner. The Lord is our banner. He's the one that will fight for us. But we have to do as Moses did. We have to have a God consciousness. We have to have a lifestyle that we're reaching up to heaven. We have to have a want to have a commitment with God. Now, when Moses' arms was heavy, we don't know why they got heavy, but I'm going to tell you some of the reason why our arms get heavy. Could it be that something is hanging on your arms trying to pull you down? Maybe bitterness. Maybe something on this arm that somebody done something to you, unforgiveness. Maybe something else is hanging on your arm, whereas you know that you know that you know that you're not doing the right thing. And the Holy Spirit is convicting you. There's so many reasons why we get tired, ain't it, church? Oh, I've been serving the Lord for years, 20, 30, 40 years. And I've been going up and down, 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 up and down. Why? Because the enemy is putting things on us to bring our arms down, to bring our communion with God down. Could be guilt. Whatever it might be, I don't know. I know what happened, you know, with me from time to time. When I get tired, oh yes, pastor gets tired. Trust me. That's why, you know, I have to go on my my things that to get replenished and refreshed, to get more strength of God. Because see, when I go and I commune with God by myself, there's no distractions. There's no people calling me 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. There's no people throwing rocks up at my window. You know, the community know where my bedroom window is over there. And they holler up there 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. And if I don't get up, they throw rocks up there at my window. I'm laying up in the bed. I'm here, tink, tink, tink. Thinking, what in the world is this? Somebody down there throwing rocks at my window. For all type of different reasons or whatever it might be. But you know, after 20-something years of that, you get tired. But thank God, I have an Aaron and a her. I got an Aaron and a her. And a Gary, and a Vera, and an Olivia, and a Russell. Mike. Okay, Mikey. A Don Foot? Yeah. A Elder Paul? You know, and is that Dennis up there? And Dennis too, sometime. Chef Yum Yum. Yes. You know, thank God that I have men and women who help me. Dalia and her mama. You know, and so many, Grace, and I can go around the room, that's here helping me hold my hands up so we can be victorious. But once again, we have to ask for help. Because I hear all the time, nobody called me, Pastor. Nobody came to me when I was going through this here. And I say, well, I'm not Miss Cleo. For some of y'all who don't know who Miss Cleo is, she's a fortune teller. She's supposed to be. I'm not a fortune teller. I don't know what you're going through unless you come to me and let me know what's going on with it. But then people will go through stuff and then get mad at me because I didn't read their mind what they were going through. But there's some people that I know that's gone through things. They would not say anything to me, and I would do things for them anyway. And I know that they was embarrassed or they was ashamed. But whenever I do something like that, that's only between me and the person. I don't come and spread it around the church. Oh, look what I went and done for them. Oh, look what I did for them. Oh, look. No. Absolutely not. And you shouldn't do it either. When you do something for somebody, keep it between you and them. As we keep our arms and thoughts upward unto God, victory. As we keep our arms and our thoughts and our minds and our spirit upward to God, we have victory. Joshua and the soldiers looked up to see the rod of God and the man of God. And they were encouraged. They remembered the victories that God had brought them through when he brought them out of Egypt. When they looked up, they saw the man of God and the rod of God. They remembered the plagues in Egypt. They remembered when God told Moses to go tell the people that all the firstborn sons are going to be killed unless I see blood on the doorpost, which is called the Passover, not Easter, the Passover. I don't use that word. I use the Passover. That's what it is, the Passover, when they see the blood. When they looked up, they saw, they remembered all the times that when the enemy was behind them and the Red Sea was in front and the mountain was on the side, they were boxed in and had no way. They were between a rock and a hard place. And they remembered the man of God and God as he stretched forth the rod and opened up the Red Sea. They remembered the man of God as they looked up to him when they were hungry. And the manna came down every day. He provided and fed them. And then after they got tired of eating manna, they wanted some meat. And God sent down chickens. Well, not chickens, but pheasants. Little chicken. Yes. And on and on and on. That's what they saw. And that's what encourages them. When they look back and they think about what God has done for me yesterday, day before yesterday, and day before that. How he has brought us through that. And that's what gave them the courage and the energy and the want to defeat the enemy. Because they remembered. And they also, when they saw him holding up the rod in his arms, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. The Lord will fight for us. The Lord is in control of all things. If Brother Harold was alive and was sitting back there, he'd be hollering out, God got this. God got this. And yes, he does. Yes, he does. Moses couldn't do it alone. He needed some help. Do you know, flesh wars against the spirit? And they war against each other. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Only the Holy Ghost can give us the victory. It's only the Holy Ghost can give us the victory. When Jesus was crucified and when he was ascended, he said, I'm going to leave you another one. I'm going to have somebody who's inside of you to give you and to remind you of me, of the things that I've done in your life. The things when you didn't think you can go on any longer. The things when you was at the end of your rope. And he brought you through it. Oh, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Only the Holy Ghost can give us victory over the flesh. Once we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Just like last week when I brought that word. No, it might have been whenever it was. He must increase that I must decrease. He must increase that I must decrease. Not should, not maybe, not might, must. I must. It's a sure thing. I got to do that. How am I going to decrease and he increase? Having our gaze, having our mind, having our heart, our soul on God. I don't know about you, but I have to do that every day because the enemy is at me every day. I was going to say from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed, but he comes at me sometime at nighttime in the dreams. I had a horrible dream here last week. I woke up sweating, heart beating all fast. I'm thinking, Lord, what in the world is that? I woke up rebuking Satan in the name of Jesus. Giving me something like that, them thoughts and visions and images and stuff in my head like that. In the name of Jesus. And you know what I did? I went straight to my closet. Straight to my closet. Oh, and you know what? Last night, night before last, I slept like a baby. I slept like a baby. Oh, praise the Lord. I didn't even want to get up this morning. I was going to make a call. Pastor Jesse. Pastor Jesse. You need to come on down here. But God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient, ain't it? Once again, If you didn't hear nothing else this morning, hear this. We're in a warfare. Do you know that? We're in a spiritual warfare. God didn't call us to the playground. He called us to the battleground. He called us to the battleground. And let me tell you something. Victory shall be mine. Victory shall be yours. Victory shall be ours, says the Lord. Because he's more powerful than anything and anybody. Spiritual warfare is much more powerful than the army, the navy, the air force, the marines, the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts, and everything else. Do you know that? So, do you know the reason that they won that war? Is because Moses entered into spiritual warfare as he was. Do you understand what I'm saying? We fight our battles on our knees. Now, let me say this here. There's things that God requires of us to do. Remember in the promised land, he said, I'm going to give you a promised land with milk and honey. He says, I've given you this land. Now go and possess it. You see, go and possess it. And possessing it means they had to do their part. You do your part and I'll do mine. Go and possess that land. No, I'm not going to let you sit on your lazy boy and give it to you like that. You got to do your part. You got to show me that you have faith in me and go out there and fight that battle every day. And as you fight that battle every day, just raise your arms up unto me and you will prevail every time. Every time. That's guaranteed. Every time is when we look to God and raise ourselves up to God. Every time. We get tired, don't we? But when we start getting tired, instead of letting our arms completely drop down. Terrence, come here. Come here for a second. Yeah, you. Come on. All right, I want you to get over here. You, Aaron, and you, Er. All right. So, I'm praying. And this is the army, and y'all fighting. Y'all having victory. Y'all coming in, giving testimonies about how God is good and how God has been blessing you and healing you and delivering you and providing for you. All of that, you're coming in and doing that. And then all of a sudden, not yet. All of a sudden, I'm tired. I'm tired of people murmuring and complaining, chiding, backbiting, talking behind backs, gossiping. Oh, got quiet then, didn't we? I'm tired of people telling me all kind of things and hearing things from other people. Of getting up at 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, running back and forth to the hospital, running back and forth to jail and every place else. I'm tired, you know, with my mom, my daughter, my son-in-law, who's on a heart transplant, you know, I can't find a heart for him again, you know, just, and my grandson, 9 years old, asked my daughter, Mommy, am I going to die like my grandfather? And am I going to be sick like my daddy? Because his grandfather died of heart problems. His father had a heart transplant already, but now it's rejecting the heart. Now he needs a new heart. 9 years old, and he's complaining. Not complaining, but worrying about, Mommy, am I going to be next? You talking about heaviness. You talking about heaviness. But thank God. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Lift it up. And as long as I'm lifted up, God will prevail. As long as I'm lifted up, I got the victory. Victory shall be mine. Victory shall be mine. When I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. Amen. Praise the Lord. And victory shall be yours too, church. Shall be yours too. Did you hear what I said today? We fight our battles on our knees, but we have to do what we do. You know, I can't be struggling with a lust of the flesh and watching stuff that I shouldn't be watching. Looking at the Sears catalogs. Well, she's like, what's on Sears catalog? Well, when I was a boy, yeah, they had underwear section. But now they got, yeah. So if I'm struggling in that area, guess what? I shouldn't be watching Dancing with the Stars. Well, they got the leg all up twirling around and carrying on. You know, all that mess. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? If I got some air in other areas in my life that I don't need to be, whatever, I don't need to be listening to no cussing and carrying on and seeing stuff on TV that I shouldn't be watching, listening to stuff that I shouldn't be listening to. No. I got to do my part. I got to turn that TV off. I got to turn that radio or that CD or 8-track, whatever it is, off. You know, all that. And I got to keep my arms up. And when I get tired, I got brothers and sisters. Pastor, I got you. Pastor, I got you. Let me share. Y'all, that's good. That's good. Y'all get a cookie. Yeah. I was in Tanzania. It's, maybe 13, 14, 15 years ago. And I was out there, and it was about 115 in the shade out there in Kikwelecho. And we were out there, and there was a funeral out there, and they have funerals. Their funerals all day long. And I didn't have a hat on. And I felt myself getting a little weak. You know, when you get a little dizzy and get a little weak, and I hadn't been doing what I should have been doing, drinking water and putting some up. But I felt myself fainting. And I was about ready to black out. I remember this, about ready to black out. But all of a sudden, I just got some energy. And when I got back home, the people said, Pastor, I don't know what was going on, but we prayed for you that Tuesday. For some reason, we prayed for you on a Tuesday. And it was a Tuesday that I almost had a sunstroke. But because of the prayers of the people here, I prevailed. You understand what I'm saying? And so many of you, the reason why you have prevailed in a lot of your life is because on Tuesday night, we're here from 6 to 7 o'clock. Storming the heavens for you. Do you know that? Do you know that? I tell you, we've been gaining numbers on Tuesday night. And I told y'all, it used to be a time here on Tuesday night, there were 300 people on a prayer meeting back in the 1800s. 300 people at a prayer meeting on Tuesday nights. But once again, it's not because you feel guilty. It's because you want to come, because you believe that that when you come and you pray, your prayers will be answered. That's why Jim Cimbala at the Brooklyn Tabernacle, they got 1,500 people at prayer meeting every week. 1,500. Somebody asked him, how do you get so many people? He said, because we believe God. That's why. Because we believe God. When we call out to God, when we make our request to God, we believe that he's going to hear us and he's going to answer our prayers. That's why we got 1,500 people. And I'm so thankful for the people that we have. It's the most important meeting that we have of the week, but it's the least attended. Why is that? That's something you need to ask yourself. But once again, I don't want to force you. Now, the church that I used to go to, all the ministers and those in leadership, we were mandated. We had to come to prayer meeting. We had to come to Bible study. We had to come to Sunday school. We had to come to all the meetings through the week. The pastor, he mandated it. And there was times, boy, I hated it. I was like, I don't want to go. I ain't going to go. You know, and every now and then I had what Dennis had from time to time, eyebrow-itis. Yeah, I have arthritis sometimes. You know, I said, Pastor, I can't come because I'm not feeling well. You know, and let me tell you what he used to tell me. He said, an excuse is a reason stuffed with a lie. When you make them excuses like that. Now, there are legitimate reasons. But Some of mine wasn't legitimate. I'm just going to be honest with you. You know, I repented of it. God, you know, forgive me of it. But what I'm saying is, what are you struggling with this morning? Have you been going up and down, up and down, up and down? You're doing good for a week or two. Next thing you know, your arms are down and the enemy is defeating you. The enemy is winning. Then the next, your victory. Then you're down again. You're up and down, up and down. Let me tell you something. God don't want you to be up and down. He's saying, you can have victory because I've overcome the world. And if you are in me and I'm in you, you are an overcomer also. You don't need to be up and down, up and down. Now, let me say this here. There are going to be times when we go through different things. Absolutely we are, because we're human. But what I'm talking about is when you get to a point where you're depressed, that you're feeling anxiety about stuff, where you lose your sleep, where you can't eat, where you feel like you're about ready to lose your mind over and over and over again. And some, I don't want to be here no longer. I can't continue to live the life that I'm living. And you know, suicide is an epidemic in America. Epidemic in America. And with our soldiers, I love our soldiers. We honor our soldiers. But they're going through it. They're going through it too. So please pray for our soldiers. Please do that. So if you're here once again and you're going up and down, up and down, up and down, and you want to keep your arms outstretched, you want to keep your arms up, we're here to help you. We're here to help you to keep that heavenly gaze, that God consciousness. So those things that have been plaguing you year after year after year after year, we can defeat them just like Joshua did with the Amalekites. That can happen this morning if you're sincere and real. But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. People are going to continue on going through that up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, because you don't want people in here to know that you're going through something. We all going through something. We all are going through something. So if you're asking the Lord today, Lord, I need to have victory over this thing that I'm dealing with because it's been plaguing me. It's been plaguing me for so long. Whatever it might be, God knows what it is. So I'm going to ask, if that's you this morning, if that's you this morning, come on down and let us hold you up. Let us hold your arms up and have victory in Jesus. Have victory in Jesus, whatever you're going through.